I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome to Christ Church of Orlando, and you're kind of here on a special day, and we're not in a message series, and so this is kind of one of those standalone messages. I love message series. It kind of gives us a chance to drill down into some subjects and kind of dig deep down into them. We just came out of a message series on worship, and if you weren't here for that, you could go online. I have to say, some of the sermons, some of the messages that we gave during that series, I think are some of the most significant messages maybe we've given in a long time here at Christ Church, because it teaches us how to worship God in even difficult places. And so let me just encourage you to go online and you can listen to those at the website. But today, I'm glad you're here. We're kind of in the this is the middle of the summer, and you're here at Christ Church of Orlando, and not a guest speaker or no guest singers or anything, and y'all came to church anyway. Thank you, you know. Well, I think maybe you came to church because I feel like there's something that the Lord would love to say to you out of his word today. And so I want you to turn with me into the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, turn with me. We're going to put scriptures up overhead. There's also a handout in your bulletin where you could take some notes and maybe write down a few ideas that you could take home with you afterwards and maybe reconsider. But I'm going to read out of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to just read a pretty healthy passage of scripture here. And so just bear with me, and I'm going to explain it to you after I read this passage. I will tell you, there are three principal players that are involved in this story. There's a man by the name of King Ahab, and King Ahab is not a good king. He's the king of Israel, and he's not a good guy. He is actually married to somebody who is even worse than he is. His wife's name, anybody know? His wife's name is... Yeah, Jezebel. Yeah, and so she's more evil than he is for the most part. He's actually weak. He's evil and weak, you know, and so which means that more evil people than him can influence his evilness, which is crazy. And so so he's a pretty awful guy. And there's a man, a prophet by the name of Elijah, and Elijah is a good man from God. And he's really had it with, God's had it with Ahab's evil, wicked ways. And so God tells Elijah to pronounce a drought. So I want you to read with me in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, first verse. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." The word of the Lord is going to cause the drought to start, and it won't stop. The water won't come. Rain won't come until the word of the Lord releases it. And the Lord will release the word of the Lord when he'll release water when he's ready. So this takes place for about 3 years. So I want you to turn down with me into 1 Kings, the next chapter. 3 years take place. And one of the reasons, this is an interesting story because honestly, like, I've never preached on this character. I've never preached on this aspect of this story. There's a lot of things that are highlighted right before this, and there are a lot of things that are highlighted right after this. But right here, nestled into the middle of this story, is the story about another man by the name of Obadiah. And Obadiah, in case you don't know, he also has some other writings in the Bible, and he's pretty awesome. But this is really not a passage that a lot of people talk about or preach about. And so I want you to turn with me to the 18th chapter, and we're going to start reading in the 7th verse. This is 3 years after after Elijah, the prophet, has pronounced famine. So they're 3 years into famine. Now, as Obadiah was on his way, and Obadiah happens to be a servant of this evil king. He's a godly man, but he's a servant of Ahab. Now, Obadiah was on his way, and suddenly Elijah met him, Elijah the prophet of God, and he recognized him. Obadiah recognizes the prophet of God, and he falls on his face and says to the prophet, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" Will somebody just say, "My Lord"? "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, and he said, "It is I. Go tell your master..." Well, somebody just say, "Your master." "Go tell your master Elijah is here." And so he said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering me?" This is Obadiah talking. "How have I sinned that you are delivering me into your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" I've trusted God. I believe God. Why are you sending me back to Ahab? He's just going to kill me. As the Lord lives. And he tells here why he's going to kill him. As the as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. Ahab has sent a lot of people, including Obadiah, out. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. We've been looking for you. Ahab sent us out to hunt for you, and we could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to another place. So here I'm having this conversation with you, Elijah, and you're telling me to go to Ahab. And so when I go to Ahab, who's really not happy about you, and I say, hey, Elijah wants me to bring you, and we come back here, and if you're not here, Ahab's going to kill me. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to another place where I do not know. And so when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find me, he will kill me. He cannot find you. He will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. And then he tells him how he served him. Okay. Was it not reported to you that I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them bread and water? I'm a good guy. Really, are you gonna set me up to get killed here? Like, do you not know how good I am? And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. This is the third time in this story. Like, he's obviously afraid. He will kill me. Then Elijah said, I'm smiling, saying, he will kill me. Isn't that horrible? And then he said, as the Lord of hosts lives, Elijah says this, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now in this text, as we've been saying, there's an evil king, and Elijah prophesies. Now let me tell you where this is taking place. It's in a place that later on becomes known as Samaria. It becomes famous in the New Testament, more famous maybe even than in the Old Testament. There are several encounters that Jesus has in the New Testament, but it takes place in Samaria. And so 3 years into this drought, and Obadiah is suffering. Obadiah is suffering with everyone else during this drought. And it's not because he's done something wrong. It's actually because he is serving under a wicked king. Ahab's wickedness is what caused this drought to take place. But yet Obadiah has been keeping his faith and he's been doing the right stuff. But yet the reality about it is, like, his faith isn't coming to full fruition. Like, he's not seeing great things taking place because there's this limitation. There seems to be a limitation on how far his faith can take him because Ahab's wickedness has put them all in this difficult circumstance. And so now, Ahab has told him to go out and find water. In fact, anywhere you can go and find water. If you can see grass, maybe find where all the wells used to be. And if there's any grass, bring the grass back because we've got to feed the livestock. Because if we don't feed the livestock are going to die. And when they die, we're going to die. Now, there's something in ecology. It's an ecological term called carrying capacity. Anybody ever heard of carrying capacity? Here's what the carrying capacity is. It's the number of a species that an environment can sustain indefinitely without environmental degradation. It's what an environment can sustain, the species, the people, the animals, the livestock, the organisms, that it can sustain without there being environmental degradation. And let me give you an example of this. Say you somehow get stranded on a desert island and you find yourself with a certain amount of people on this desert island and there's only one tree. And that only one tree is bringing fruit. And as this one tree is bringing fruit, and let's say it's a mango tree, and you realize that there's only one mango that's being produced today that's coming that you guys can eat. And so you take a look at this mango, and you're like, okay, there's how many of us, and there's this one mango, so we're going to divide this up. We can't eat two mangoes because we have a capacity here. There's this carrying capacity. The environment can only carry so much of this, so we only get one mango, and this one mango is going to have to be divided up so that we can sustain life as best as possible, because if we eat all the mangoes, then we're going to go into environmental deterioration. So if we're going to survive, this tree is going to have to continue to produce, and we can only consume this one mango a day. A carrying capacity. Let me put it in another place, maybe in another platform. Have you ever gotten to the place in your life where you have friends that have drama? Does anybody here have friends that have drama? If they're sitting next to you, go ahead and elbow. No, don't do that. But anybody have friends that have drama? And you know, like, and they always seem to be like, they want their drama to be your drama. Anybody know? Like, and there are some people that almost seem like they can't survive. Like, because you do know that there's an energy to drama. Like, people don't feel like they're actually alive unless they have the adrenaline. Whoa, man, you know what I'm talking about. Like, and so now they bring their drama to you, and when they bring their drama to you, you realize you've been doing some life assessment. I am on a desert island with a drama queen, and he's trying to eat all my mangoes. You know what I'm talking about. Like, I only have so much nerves left. I only have so much carrying capacity. And now here you are, you're bringing problems to me every day. And seriously, here's the problem with it is, like, last month I talked to you and I told you maybe you ought to consider this, move in another direction. And you didn't listen to me last month, and you just want me to keep listening to you, and you're not really paying attention to what I'm saying. And so I have to assess what my carrying capacity is when it comes to you and my nerves. And honestly, if you try to eat my mangoes again today, I know what's coming up next week. I know my boss is having problems. I know my husband, my wife's having problems. My kids are going back to school. And honestly, if you try to put that on me right now, I'm going to vote you off the island. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So it's a carrying capacity. And so here, Obadiah and King Ahab, they're trying to determine the carrying capacity of Samaria. Like, how much is out there? How much grain is out there? How much grass is out there that will be able to sustain us? What is the carrying capacity? And I would tell you today, as I've been looking at this story, while they're looking at the carrying capacity of Samaria, I believe that the Lord was trying to show Obadiah that his faith had reached its carrying capacity. That somehow he was even limited. There was only a certain amount of resource that he had. You see, as I look at this story, what I realize is Obadiah had learned to live in a drought. Obadiah actually had learned to survive in a drought and even maybe become comfortable in a drought. Was this his maximum living? No, it was not his maximum living. Is this like God's standard for his life? Absolutely not. But life has taken its course on him, and some things have taken place, and he's just learned to settle for his carrying capacity. He's just learned that it's not what I was dreaming about. It wasn't the vision I had for my life. It wasn't the vision I had for my marriage or for my career or my kids or for my life. But listen, I've been in drought so long. I've gone seeking for grass and grain, and honestly, nothing's taken place, and there's just been a drought so long. So I've just decided that I'll learn how to live at this. My marriage isn't happy. We're not really happy, but my carrying capacity can manage making breakfast. My carrying capacity can manage mowing the lawn. I'm still going to work, and I'm still bringing a paycheck home, but the truth is I've learned to live in drought. I've learned to live in a place and somehow maintain a carrying capacity. I don't dream anymore. I don't have any visions anymore. I don't get excited about life. I'm not thinking about how great life can be. I'm just surviving day to day. And you know what's the problem with living in an environment where there's drought? The problem with living in an environment where there's drought is all the other people around you learn to live at a lesser carrying capacity. In fact, all of the people around you, they learn to live at a lesser level. If the only people in your sphere of influence have a smaller carrying capacity, they will become comfortable with you in the drought. And in fact, if you try to get out of the drought, if you try to move forward, if you try to do something greater in your life, have you ever seen somebody in your circle of friends, or maybe you've tried to move forward, and you know what takes place when somebody realizes they've had enough of their carrying capacity? Do you know what happens? People hate them. Like, why are you going to get a drink of water? Why are you trying to do something different? Why are you trying to change your life? Why are you trying to do something better? Become a better husband, become a better wife, get a better job. Why are you trying to move forward in your life? Why don't you just learn to live thirsty like the rest of us? Why don't you just learn to live on a lower level? And Obadiah, he's one of those individuals. He's become comfortable living in a drought. Yeah. I have to wonder, like, why wouldn't you want to move forward? Like, because there's some uncomfortability to have to go out and search. There's some uncomfortability about having to step away from your comfortable environment. There's risks that you'd have to take. You might not be living at your maximum level, but you have learned to live, and you've just grown accustomed to this place. There are some people that I know, and maybe some people here today, that you've had brokenness, you've had wounds in your life, you've had hurts in your life, and you've fostered those things, and you've carried them, and it's gone so long that the brokenness and the hurt has become your identity. And who would you be if you weren't the person that was hurt in that divorce? Who would you be if you weren't the person that had been maligned or lied about? Who would you be if you weren't that person who somehow you were maligned on your job and you lost that job? Who would you be if you weren't that person? Because you don't know who your identity would be, and it would have to take you out of a comfortable place. You've grown comfortable living in a drought. And so it'll take something down inside of you for you to stretch. And so what we do is we talk ourselves out of it. I'll never be able to do that. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know what happened to me in high school. You don't know what happened to me in elementary school. You don't know what happened to me in my marriage. I can't move forward. I'll never have a good marriage again. I'll never have a great relationship again. I can't have a better career. I can't go back to school. I thought one day I'd go to school and I'd get a career. I thought one day that maybe I'd move beyond this place, but now I'm too old. And now I don't have enough finances. And there's nobody to support me. There's nobody that's going to help me do this. And all my friends tell me that I'll just fail. And so I'd just rather stay in drought. I'd just rather stay right where I am rather than to go looking for water. And there are a lot of people that they've learned to live in a country filled with drought around people that have learned to be comfortable with drought. Even though you know that there's water available, even though there's opportunities, it might take some courage. You might have to come up against some things that you've learned to be comfortable. But I have to tell you, there are some people here today that I believe that you're here for a reason. Like on this day, in the middle of a summer, when there's not a message series taking place, not a special singer, and not a special music, I feel like the Lord maybe assigned somebody here to be in this house today because he wants to tell you that the drought that you've been living in is not your destiny. It's not the place where God wants you to stay. That there's some place in front of you, that there's still a place to dream. There's still a place for you to step into. And so here, I want you to read with me, if you would. In this 18th chapter on the 7th verse, here's what he says. Now Obadiah was on his way. We don't know exactly where he's going, but we know he's moving. He's walking. Have you ever seen anybody who, they appear to be full of activity, but it doesn't seem like they're producing anything? Let me just tell you, activity is not equal to production. Have you ever worked with anybody? You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever worked with somebody that they always look busy, never got anything done? Walk in the office and they're like, can I help you? I'd be right with you. Like, what are you? I'm in the middle of something right now. Get home. And you know, like, walk in the door and, like, kids are up off the counter. Like, I was just getting the vacuum cleaner. And you see, like, there's an indent on the couch that's, like, 6 inches deep. There's popcorn all over the floor. Oh, man. Okay, no, I'll just stop here. They're on their way. Where are they going? Like, what are they actually producing? So he's on his way. Obadiah is on his way. And suddenly Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, meets him. Anybody here ever been moving in one direction and suddenly the Lord shows up and changes your direction? Has anybody ever had one of those moments in life where you had your mind made up on one thing, and then all of a sudden, like, God intervened, he showed up, and suddenly, like, in a moment, like, things changed for you. There are some of you, let me just tell you, you've been walking in a direction, maybe even in a relationship, you've been walking in a direction, maybe in some kind of a path, even if it's a negative path or a positive path, but you've been, and the Lord sent you to this place to say, hey, listen, there's a direction change, and it can be a sudden direction change. I was living in Pennsylvania, and I got out of college, and I'm working at my home church, and let me just tell you, this was back a few years ago when the economy in Western Pennsylvania, the steel mills were closing down, the coal mines were closing down, and I was committed. I made my mind up. I'm a faithful man. I made my mind up. I'm staying at my home church. I'm going to help build this church to be a great church, and I'm starving to death. I'm literally in a financial drought, complete drought. Barely making it. I'm having to mow lawns and hang wallpaper. And I mean, I'm having to do all kinds of stuff that some of it I wasn't even qualified to do. But I'm doing anything I can to make it. And a church from Orlando, Florida calls me and they're like, Paul, we would love for you to come to Central Florida and be your minister of music. I'm like, we'll fly you down here and let you take a look at it. Okay, I'll take a flight to Orlando, you know. Came down here in October. Over the next 6 months, I turned the job down 5 times. And finally, the pastor calls me and he said, this is my last phone call. I won't call you again after this. Will you come to Florida? And I've said, no, 5 times. And when I picked up the phone, I was determined to say no again. And like, I don't know, it was almost like something supernatural happened. And out of my mouth came, yes, I'll come. And I, honestly, like it wasn't really an out-of-body experience, but it felt like it. And I'm like, I hung up the telephone. And I won't show you, but I literally got off the couch, laid down on the floor, and rolled around. I'm like, what did I just do? Because I was determined to move in one direction, and suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord prompted me in the middle of a conversation, said, yeah, that's where I'm going instead. I'm living in a drought, and had been living in a drought for a long time, and the Lord was providing a way. I couldn't move before that, but I had to wait for the time of God, and the Lord changed my direction suddenly. Some of you, you've been walking in insecurity. You've been walking in fear. You've been walking in ways that honestly, you shouldn't, people you're hanging around with. There are decisions that you're making that you know are negative. It's keeping you in depression. It's keeping you in negative places. And let me just tell you, the Lord brought you here to this place today to have an encounter with the word of the Lord so that even on one day, in 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning, you didn't expect it to take place. But suddenly, God can change your direction today. That's why you're here today. And Obadiah, he says in verse number 7, is that you, my Lord? Would somebody again say with me, my Lord? Is that you, my Lord? And Elijah answers him, it is I. Go tell your master Elijah is here. Is that you, my Lord? Now, what I've read this story a lot of times, and I didn't see this until recently when I read this. Is that you, my Lord? The word from the Lord, the man from God, representing God, the authority of the Lord. Is that you, my Lord? And Elijah says, yes, go tell your master, Elijah is here. it makes me understand that it is possible for you to be a Christian. It's possible for you to have a Lord and still serve a master. It's possible for you to come to the house of God and sing praise on Sunday and say, Jesus is my Lord. He's my Lord. I got baptized. I did a video testimony. Man, I sang praises with everybody. Wow, man, did you? They were singing. I sang loud. I raised both hands. And Jesus is my Lord. I gave my life to Jesus. And then to walk out of this door and still live your life serving a master. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's suicidal thoughts. Maybe it's fear or anxiety. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's the failure to see vision in your life or hear the word of the Lord saying it's time to move forward. But you call Jesus Lord. You have a Lord, and yet somehow in your everyday life, after you walk out of this place, your master runs your life. It's created by a wound. It's created by an insecurity. It's created by something maybe in your past. And every time that you want to move forward, you want a new place in your life, your master takes control. Elijah shows up. The Lord shows up. The word of the Lord shows up and says, go tell your master things are about to change. Go tell, it's time to go have a conversation with whatever it is that's ruling your life. It's time to go have a conversation with whatever is keeping you from the future, the destiny that God has for you. It's time for you to get up from this place and go tell your master that he has no control over you because the Lord has showed up and today is the day of destiny. And there are some of you, you're going to need to have some conversations with your master. There are some of you today, you're going to need to walk out of this place today. And next time that addiction, next time that mentality, that next time that negativity, next time that wound is reminded of you, you're going to have to say, you're not my master anymore. You can't control me. You can't control my house. You can't control my relationships because the Lord has spoken. And today is the day of destiny. I'm not in drought anymore. You know what your master wants to do? He wants to take away your future from you. He wants to take your destiny away from you. And you're going to have to speak to that master, and you're going to have to tell him, the Lord is here. Verse number 9. I'm just going to read a little bit longer. When he starts to play, that means I have to stop. Verse number 9, or it means like the anointing just got here. Here we go. Verse number 9. So Obadiah said, how have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? There's a lot of people in Israel. Why me? Why have you singled me out? Why couldn't you have met with somebody else? Why couldn't you met with somebody in the army? Why couldn't you met with somebody? Why couldn't you have picked Pastor Paul? Why couldn't you have picked Pastor Jeff? Why couldn't you have picked somebody else to go and do this thing? Why me? Why have you made me stand out? Why have you put me in a position that it feels like it's going to hurt? It's going to kill me. Why have you put me in a place that I'm going to have to make a decision to go against my master? Why have you put me in a place where I'm going to have to make a decision to go against my friends? Why have you put me in a place it's going to hurt if I have to speak up and say, I'm not going to party like that with you anymore. I'm not going to live that life with you anymore. I'm not going to do those things with you anymore. It's going to hurt. And so why have you singled me out? Because have I sinned? Like, have I hurt you? God, has anybody here besides me ever prayed a prayer like, why are you doing this to me, to God? It's Friday night and I'm alone. Oh, God. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead. Why did I get fired, God? But what you don't understand is that what you're perceiving as a punishment is actually God positioning you for a better thing in your future. That if you're there on Friday night and you're doing the things that they're doing with the relationships that they're doing and all those things, that the reality is that you're going to live that lifestyle out. And so when the Lord pulls on you and calls on you and says, that's not your place. And you're like, Lord, don't you love me? I want to fit in with all my friends. This is painful. This hurts. Why did you cause me to lose that job? You had me take that job. I thought it was a great job. It was a great business job. And what you didn't understand was when they let you go, God had placed you in that place so that you would learn the job skill that you were going to need. So when he finally got you to the career of where you were going to go, you'd be equipped to do the job he wanted you in the place he wanted you. But while you were there, you thought you were being punished. When that guy broke up with you, you thought you were being punished. But what you didn't understand was God was putting you on hold till the right guy showed up. Somebody say amen. Sometimes the reward feels like a punishment, but let me just tell you, if you choose to trust God in this circumstance, if you choose to trust God, what will take place is he'll reposition you in the future. I'm just a few more verses and I'm going to close out here. Verse number 10, as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And they said, he is not here. He took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they would not find you. I had to go and expose myself. You're asking me to go now to Ahab, and you're asking me to go to my master. I've done that. I've searched for your will before. I've searched for your plan before. I've made the right decisions before, and I didn't find water. I tried serving you one time before and it didn't work out the way I thought it was going to work out. I was seeking for your will and it hurt. I lost the job. I don't understand it. So why are you going to have me go back and do this thing again? Because honestly, I've just given up. I've just resigned myself. I've given that this is where my faith is going to land. I'm just going to be like every other Christian. I'm just going to live like other people. I'm not going to be exceptional. I'm not going to believe God for amazing things. I'm not going to believe him for miracles. I'm not going to believe God that I could be a world changer, because honestly, I stuck my toe in that water one time and it just didn't work out. And so I'm not sure that I want to go do that again. And here he says, why are you going to do this? Because I've already resigned myself from that. I've already resigned myself from walking in faith or living that life. And here's what Elijah says again in verse number 14. Now I say to you, go tell your master. Whew. Man, I don't care how many times you've tried to live for God and you fell down. I don't care how many times you've taken that step of faith and it didn't work out. Again, the word of the Lord comes to you. Go tell your master the word of the Lord is here and there's water ahead. Don't let him stop you. Don't let failure stop you. Don't let your past stop you. Don't let those things stop you. He realizes at this point, like, God's up to do something. Some of you don't fully understand why God positioned you. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to do exactly what Obadiah tried to do. You know what he did? He tried to predict the outcome. If I do that, I'm just going to die. If I do it, I'm just going to die. If I do it, it's going to hurt, and I'm not interested in doing that. And so has anybody here ever told God what the future is going to look like if you follow God? You know, like, Lord, do you know what you're asking me to do? No, I can't go on that mission trip to Honduras because I'll be broke. Lord, no, Lord, I can't pay my tithes. I'll be broke. Lord, I can't. I have friends that want to meet with me, and honestly, like, I can't go to church on Sunday. Lord, I can't live that kind of lifestyle, because honestly, if I do all of those things, the truth is, it just won't turn out the way you think is going to turn out, God. Like, I'll live in the real world while you're up in heaven. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to trust him. He wants you to go and tell your master again that the Lord God, he has your life in his hands and that his time is up. And so I'm going to close out here. Here's what takes place. Obadiah, he goes and he speaks to Ahab and he says, Ahab, Elijah is here and he wants you to come. He speaks to his master and he says, he wants it. The word of the Lord wants to meet with you. And Ahab, the master, he listens to the instruction of God. And he goes and he meets with Elijah. He submits himself There are some of you today that you walked into this place and your life is a mess. There's some things that are going on in your life and you feel like you're never going to get beyond that in your marriage, in your faith, in your relationships, in your finances. You feel and you've just learned to live in drought. Today, there are some people here in this place that the Lord wants you to begin to speak to your master and say, listen, God has a word for me. God has a plan for me. And there is rain coming. There's water that's still coming. I'm going to close in just one more thing. Is it all right for two more minutes and I'll close? This takes place in Samaria. There's a famous story that takes place in Samaria. There's a woman at a well. And Jesus meets this Samaritan woman at a well whose relationships are broken. She's in a drought. Even though she's at a well, she's in a drought. And Jesus shows up and says, hey, I have a word from the Lord for you. Give me some water. And she's like, well, why would I give you water? Like, I don't feel like I need to obey that. I don't feel like I need to do that. And he's like, you don't even have a bucket. How am I going to give you water? And Jesus says, I'm not talking about that kind of water. I have water that if you'll drink of this water, hey, are anybody listening to me? This is a woman in drought, and he says, I have water that if you'll drink of this water, your life is going to change. You'll never thirst again. You're going to come out of the desert. It's not going to be like it was, like God has a paradigm shift for your life. And so if you'll just listen to the word of the Lord today, your life can be different when you walk out of this place, because the word of the Lord is there's water. He has living water. He said, if you'll drink of this water, springs of living water will come out of you. And you'll never thirst again. There are some of you, you've been living in a desert, and the Lord wants you to come into water. He wants you to come into a place where you speak to your master and say, listen, God has showed up, and from on this place, I'm not going to live in the drought. I'm not going to live in the place where you've assigned me. Instead, I'm going to step into the future that God has for me. I'm going to take that step of faith, and God's going to give me springs of living water. There's somebody here today, I want to pray for you, because there's someone here today, like you're ready for water, you're ready for rain, you're ready for the next thing that God has for you. And we're going to pray together in the next few moments. Let me pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word and your spirit. And I thank you, dear Lord, for bringing revelation to us. And I thank you, Lord, for the people who have sat here patiently and maybe even thirsty. They're thirsty for you. Not, they don't want to just talk about water. They need your water. We need a drink of you. We need water from your well today. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you'd begin to pour your spirit out so that you'd stretch us out of this comfortable place into the place, into the new place where there's water, and this well can satisfy us and take us into a new journey in you, in the name of Jesus, Lord. So give us the courage. Give us the courage to speak to the master that we're not going to stay here any longer. I want everybody to stand with me, if you would, please. I'd like our prayer partners to come, if you would. Prayer partners, if you'd join me down front here. We're going to have some prayer partners, but I'm going to make myself available in these next few moments. If you're thirsty, if you've been in a drought, if the enemy's been telling you this is all it's ever going to be, if the enemy's telling you, like, you're just stuck where you are, decisions other people have made have wounded you and kept you where you are, the decisions that you've made, you've just lived this out, just get comfortable, learn to live like this. If you're ready for a life change, if you're ready to drink deep from the water of God today and step into the future that God has for you, I want you to step out of your seats, and I want you to come down front here, and we're going to pray with you today. Come on, come on. As we sing, will you step out of your seats?